Melly Lepick, founder of Holistic Yacht Interiors.
Indeed.
Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Lucy.
You're so welcome. And of course, Monaco Yacht Show, big pinnacle of the year for everyone. But your company is reasonably new, but you're doing some incredible projects. Let's start back how you got into this wonderful industry in the first place. What's your story?
Sure. My story dates back nearly 20 years. And my background, where I grew up or what I studied and what I did, have absolutely nothing to see with sea.
Because you grew up in Estonia.
I grew up in Estonia in a little university town, even not by the seaside. I was a very academic surrounding. So I grew up in a university town with a lot of like artistic people, theater, philosophy. That was my kind of scope and scene.
That what you loved when you were younger.
Yeah, and that's what I knew about. So it was quite natural. I went to study theology. So
okay.
I actually did 6 years. I have a master in theology.
Oh, wow.
So, which is as far as you can go from your thing.
Yeah, there's a big jump to get
it
from
is.
Theology.
It is. Well, once we get theologian. There where it actually all connected.
Okay.
So after I finished my studies, during the uni time, I was working in the art gallery studio. It was art class studio. And anything to do with the design, anything to do with art, creativity, that's always been my thing.
Okay, so then, passion for design.
Sure.
Now that's starting to make a little bit more sense in terms of yachting. So how did you get on from there to work with superyachts?
Well, industry as such does not exist in Estonia.
Right.
Yachting industry, and probably never will be. So you have to first start with the seafaring in general. But that was a coincidence as well. Well, I was living in Tallinn then, and my partner was in Helsinki, and it didn't make sense to rent two apartments in two different places. So I decided to move with him in Helsinki. And I didn't speak Finnish language so well, so I said, what I'm going to do, where I'm going to find work. And somebody said, but go on the boat, because of course, between Helsinki and Tallinn, there's a lot of ferry traffic. And
of course, yes.
Yeah. And I said, no, I can't go to the boat because I'm scared of sea. I need a big glass of wine even to do this one-hour crossing. So now that's not an option. But how it went, they opened the line to St. Petersburg. Back there, yeah, it was 2004.
Okay.
And they were looking for people who would speak Estonian, Finnish, but also a bit Russian. And I'm still coming from that era that I had some Russian at school. So I decided to go on board there and then did one summer there. Was interesting, but kind of hated it, the boat life. So we came back. I started to work in interior design studio and so on. But how they say, you give your 3 drops of blood to Neptune. And there was another opportunity to go on board with a fast ferries.
Okay. And moving up in the world straight away. Right?
Yep. So I went back to sea. I stayed on as a purser then already on a fast ferry boat for about 4 years. Then they hit the first big financial crash, which was 2008. So there were mortgages. I was out of job. And, oh, we need something else. And then there was an option to go to Oman.
Okay. Getting more interesting by the moment.
Yeah. And I even didn't know about the country, to be honest. And they had an interesting, like an infrastructure development program.
Okay.
The country never had the seafaring, really, or passenger ferry service, although they have a really long sea line. And there was a government venture to start that luxury passenger service. And they got all the know-how from Europe. And so I ended up building basically an interior operation for Oman and with Omanis. And that was a unique experience.
You must have learned such a lot. It must have been like the university. Like a real huge learning curve.
Yeah, that's the first university after the actual university.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, that experience was very eye-opening. Was my first fully international also experience. I stayed there for 2 years. And by then, I already had heard of yachting.
Okay.
I had heard of yachting. So I had this vision that I would like to join the industry. But for me, it was more like this, you know, the snow globes for Christmas. There's all life in there, beautiful, but there is no door. You can't get in.
That's such a great analogy.
Yeah, you just can't get in. You don't know anyone. You just don't know how it works. But I found a way. The quite crazy experience in Oman led me to write a travel book. Right. So
what did you write a travel book on?
So we have a series of travel books in Estonia about Estonian people who've been working or living in the different countries anywhere. Right. So the book is always called, let's say, like My France, and then there's a subtitle. And my book was called My Oman. It's in Estonian. Of course, nowadays I may be translating once, but it was called My Oman from Camel to Porsche in 56 knots.
Wow. We need to get a copy of this. Yes. I need a copy of this. You need to get me an English version.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And it was a bit of a, it was published 2011. There was a bit of a media attention. And in one of the interviews to some magazine, I said that it's my dream actually to work in the superyacht industry. And there was a lady, a girl, Estonian girl, who read that article. And she'd all been in yachting like 5-6 years.
Right.
And she found me in Facebook and said that if you really want to do this, I can help you. And we got in touch, we became friends, we mapped my skill set, and I had a lot of like admin experience already, because by then I had already 8 years of commercial experience, but I knew nothing about sales. And then she kind of said, girl, if you want to go to your team, you need to figure out about your wines and trays and cutleries and all that. So over the winter, I got myself in a fine restaurant.
Okay.
And yeah, educated to be at the side of the bar and the table.
Fantastic.
And I was then set and ready to go to yachting. I had accommodation booked. I had contacted some agents and I was ready to dock walk. I want to do that. That was then 2012. But then the husband of that same girl was a captain of a 50-meter boat. And they had Middle Eastern owners and they were looking for a second stew with a particular knowledge of Middle Eastern culture, religion, food.
So basically a role that was absolutely made for you.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So basically all my previous experience, starting with my actually education, came together and was my foot on the door.
Wow. And that was the very first job that you had.
It was the very first job I had.
Fantastic. Straight on a 50 meter.
Straight on a 50 meter as a second steward. And in 6 months, I was actually chief steward there.
Oh,
so
wow.
It went quite quickly. And 50 meter back then was quite a big boat.
Yes.
And I stayed there for a while. At the size was never like issue for me when it comes to boats. So I'm used to like the bigger vessels with commercial. So I started to look forward and further to do something maybe more challenging. And the challenge came. I signed up to be a purser on a 125 meter boat.
That's new a build. Huge jump.
And a new build.
So you're with the project from the get-go?
Yes. It was the goal about a year before the delivery.
Right.
So I did join as a purser. I ended up as a head housekeeper, but action duties were to assist a project manager and owner's rep to delivery of the boat, which meant that I need to start working with the designers, with the shipyards, shipbuilders, IOCs. Was a very hard learning curve.
Absolutely.
It was a proper university.
I'm not going to ask you which boat it was, but which part of the world? Were in Holland or Germany?
We built in Greece.
Okay, you built in Greece?
Yes.
Wow, okay. Well, so that gives it away a little bit. But yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. But that's a huge learning curve, but also just taking all of your skill sets and wrapping it up and allowing that brain to work, which is why you've got to the business that you started and what we're here to talk about, really.
Yes.
So that must have been the seed that planted the idea when you worked on the first new build project.
Almost. I had a glimpse of it, but maybe that seed wasn't that fruitful because that experience led to a massive burnout. I actually resigned the boat after 6 months of in operation, completely convinced that I'm done with sea altogether, that I've done my 10 years. Enough is enough. I thought I'm going to go back ashore. I'm going to return to my upcycled fashion design. And And I was away from the boats for a year.
Right.
Until unexpectedly, I got a call from a captain in a nursing yard. And they were building in an 85 meter. I wasn't even looking, but somehow my sea was there. Faith. And they asked, do I want to come to set up the boat? I said, yes.
And so, the rest was history.
So I I joined this build. I was the first one in interior and was quite carte blanche. I could do things my way. And I realized that's actually quite a good way and it works. And the launch was a success. The operation, then the bot got sold. And after that came Motorhead Apple.
Very famous that we all know, that new Larry Leonard design on the exterior. Absolutely recognize it at Sea, can't
it
you?
Is. Yeah. It was the experience with Apple which gave me the first idea of how we actually should be doing the interior new builds.
And that is a really good starting point to talk about the problems that interiors, especially crew, find when they haven't had at build stage the right involvement of somebody like you who really understands the operational side of the job. And now that can really just affect the running of the boat, crew morale, service, all the way down. If that's not done correctly at the beginning, it can hugely impact the job, right?
Of course. Of course it does. And the other person always asking why. There's like a lot of whys. And then then it was like already second new build, third new build, even fourth one. And then I started to notice certain patterns why certain things maybe don't run that well or the outcome is not so perfect. And and the core reason is that the construction and operation side are not as connected as they should be. They are not, sea and land are not talking to each other the way they should talk to each other. And that ended up the core idea of Holistic Yacht Interiors.
And so the catalyst why you actually started your company
was
that exact reason. I think the best companies are the best successful ones, always solving a problem, right? And there's obviously a problem there, like you said, the disconnect between the design and the operational on the business side of the boat, if that's not correct. I mean, I must keep service staff in the wrong places, unable to be able to keep things flowing, what you would think would naturally, but a designer hasn't quite gotten. So you must consult with like designers, project managers. How does it work?
Yeah, well, my scope is quite wide in that sense that I have been working directly with the owners, management companies, owners, reps, also designers.
Yeah.
But that's not it because the focus is on that connection. So the other part is the operation and the crew. So where I somewhere between doing these builds thought that if we take the very experienced operational people and put them onto the build setting and they utilize their experience, that's enough. Voila. You know, they share everything they need, everything they know, and we get better boats. But over time, I learned that's not enough because their experience on board is very different with a job in the yard. On board, everything is very reactional. In the build, it's super strategic. And requires completely different skill set. So it doesn't necessarily translate automatically from one setting to another. So what we actually need to do is to educate and raise the awareness on the shore side, how important operational know-how is, and at the same time support the operational people who are joining the new builds, that they would really become assets, not a hassle, like sometimes said.
So it becomes more of an organic process. And I guess that's
holistic.
Holistic, organic, exactly. So it moves with each other. Absolutely get it now. And the name of the company absolutely hits it on the head, right? So that it can completely do it. What are the challenges that you find there? Especially, you know, we're talking about educating the crew who come in. That's part of the consultancy that you do as well.
Yes.
So just explain a little bit more about that.
Sure. It's about education and expectations. So something I actually thought about just in the past few days is I feel that the role of an interior crew on a build, it's not very well understood, perhaps. It's very common you have a chief engineer, ETO, already involved way before the launch of the boat. In the process, same, you have the captain, the deck people. But I think that the magic words there is, well, technical things, safety, compliance, they're all quite complicated things. So when it comes to interior, it's a little bit of a false safety or understanding that everybody's been in a fine restaurant or a hotel. So everybody can have an opinion. And this is something what you can kind of understand. So you have perception that it will sort it out itself, you know. But of course, it actually doesn't.
It doesn't. And of course, that's the bit that the owner or the charterer, that they're seeing the front-facing thing. So if they're not perfect, they're going to notice that before they're going to notice there's a problem in the engine room, right?
Yeah, and that's, sorry to break it to the technical team, but the hot water and lights and safety come as bare minimum, but it's the interior who is very exposed. It's not necessarily only interior team, but I would say all the guest-facing roles,
yes,
are very exposed. And therefore, it's your first business card for the client. Yeah. And you asked that, so what we need to do, though I talked about the shore side. But the same way, the senior people want to maybe take on the new build job, because you've been maybe already 6, 10 plus years on board. You really know your stuff. You want to have a change. You want to have a challenge. You want to have a little bit of normality. Your Monday to Friday, land-based. And that's the reason why I've been talking to crew agents, and with all the new builds now on a pipeline with all the shipyard, it's a very popular job to take. And again, the people have their experience. So you think, okay, what is it then? It's just taking the operation apart backwards. And it would be a nice thing to do. The reality, however, can be different, because you can arrive to that shipyard. You're maybe second or third person in a team to join. Perhaps you have an only rep for visiting once in Blue Moon. You maybe have a captain, maybe not. There is an engineer, crumpy engineer. Love to all engineers. Or maybe an ETO, and then it's you. And you sit on the desk with your empty laptop. You have the plan of the boat, the GA, which you very likely can't even read, because nobody has told you what to look from it. And then you have a date in a distant future, maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's in 24 months, to set up the boat for the operation. So where do you go? Where do you start?
Yeah, a huge learning curve.
It's a daunting place to be. And,
absolutely, because a lot rides on it. I mean, we're not talking about small projects here. We're talking about multi-million euro projects and huge vessels, because they're also getting big, which makes this role more complex, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes more complex. And there are several aspects. One thing is, of course, to create the systems, and eventually there is recruitment and the supplies. But it's difficult sometimes maybe to understand the dynamics of the build between all the different stakeholders. That's why you have the yard, the designers, owner's office, the management company, all these people. How all this dynamic is working. And then if your experience is only on the operation, you might not get that feeling. So your input might not have the full impact what
absolutely
you wish. Yes.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month, with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.